I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. We've been going through John and Proverbs, and there's times here recently that I've just felt the Lord's leadership and direction to look at some other passages, and this is one of those days, Luke chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 25 through 35. And I'd like in this first message to take the verses 25 to 29 and then the second message to finish that this passage of Scripture. But let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray together. Our Father, how thankful we are this morning. Oh, for this time, Lord, to look at your word, to not be concerned with current events, customs, but to hear what you have to say. This morning I pray your blessing upon this, our time together. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. Amen. From the Holy Scriptures, we have this morning a very private event that took place in the temple there in Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God was pleased to record it and put it in the Scriptures. All the things that the Lord did or that were done during that time, all of them were not recorded. In fact, Scripture says that if all the things that the Lord had done or said had been put into books, the world would not contain the books. That's a lot. Only those things that the Spirit of God was pleased to put in the holy canon of Scripture. That's what we have. That's it. And this event right here took place, and as I say, it was a very private thing. You'll see that as we look at it. But the Spirit of God was pleased to teach us something. Scripture says, verse 25, and behold, now let's just take note. What he's saying. Now look at this. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And that Simeon means God has heard. No mention of this man being a priest. It doesn't say that. Speculation, maybe. It doesn't say that he was a priest or any other particular you know, bearer of an office. He just, here was a man, a fallen creature of Adam. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was, as far as we know, this man was just, he was a Jew. He was just a Jew. And the same man, the scripture says, was just. Now the scripture reveals that that man was a righteous man. He was a believer. He was a holy man made so by the grace of God. Not by any works of his righteousness. There was nothing that this man was said to have done. This man was a just man. He was a believer. He believed God. He believed in the surety of God's promise to send the Messiah, the Savior. Here was one. Now, there were all kinds during this time. You know this. During this period of time, there were all kinds of, you know, Pharisees that hated the Lord and the people that wouldn't hear him. But according to the scriptures, this man, this same man, was just. He was one that was of the remnant, according to the election of grace. One that Paul referred to in Romans 11 as one in Israel that the Lord had not cast away. One that the Lord had reserved to himself. Out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, this man was a Jew that God was pleased to reveal himself to. This man was just. Just before God. This man believed God. And he was devout. That's what it says. This man, this was Simeon, he was a just and he was a devout man. That means he was cautious. He was careful. He was a careful man. Before others, he realized something of the presence of God. He walked before men with a good reputation. That's what devout means. He was a man that was well received, well spoken of. And this man was said to be waiting for the consolation, the comfort. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting on the Messiah. He was looking for the Messiah, not like everybody else. Most everybody in that time was looking for the Messiah. He was going to be a king. They thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and he was going to restore Israel back to the former glory, back like they had back in Solomon's day. That's what they were looking for, not this man. This man believed that God Almighty, he knew the scriptures. Isaiah 51:3. This was all the scriptures that were there, the Old Testament. This is what this man knew. He knew what God had promised. And the Spirit of God had given him a heart to believe God was going to send the Comforter. Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He shall make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. This man believed God. He knew that God was going to send the Messiah, the heavenly King, the glorious King of his people. And he waited. He was waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. By faith. Just like we're waiting right now. This is what we know this. We know that the Lord is coming back. He said he was. And this is what we're doing right now this morning. This is why we're here. We assemble ourselves together. This is the body. This is the church. This is a local body. God raised up a place in Katy, West Virginia. I've said before. Katy, West Virginia. Have you ever looked at the green signs from where Katy to Katy, where it starts and stops? I mean, it's nowhere. It's not even incorporated. But this is where God has raised up a candlestick and left this place here almost 60 years. Raised up a faithful pastor. He taught us. I'm so thankful for that. And what we're doing this morning, we're waiting. We're waiting on the Lord. Waiting on God. Studying His Scriptures. This man had God's Word. And he waited. And he knew that his waiting was not going to be in vain. And we know it too. I know this. In a moment, in twinkling of an eye, the Scripture reveals that the Lord's going to come back. And I'm telling you, when He comes back, it's over. We never even thought about it. You never even realized what was going on. And all of a sudden, everybody's standing before God. Everybody. The Scripture says in Isaiah 49:23, "For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me." Those that patiently expect. That's what we do. Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And the Lord was pleased to bless this man. He blessed this man in an exceptional way. You know, every believer has the Spirit of God within him. The very Spirit of Christ. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. That is the new man. Created in righteousness. There's life there. It's a new man, vitally joined. It's the life of Christ. He said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." You want to know what is the life in you? It's the life of Christ. And this man had that. He was a just man. But he was especially blessed by the Spirit of God. The scripture says that, last part of verse 25, the Holy Ghost was upon him. And that the Holy Ghost being upon him was manifested in actually two ways. Now, it says it, first of all, verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That man was miraculously taught. The Spirit of God told this man, Simeon, just a man, just a guy, a fallen creature in Adam that God was pleased to reveal something to reveal Christ to him. And the Spirit of God told this man, "You're not going to die until you have actually, physically, really, truly seen the Lord's Christ." What a promise. What a promise. Can you imagine that God would tell this man, "You're not going to die. You're not going to." I don't know how old he was. I don't know how old he was. It doesn't say. But I'm telling you, this man, having received the Lord's word, that he was actually going to see the Christ. You're going to see the Messiah come in human form. You're going to see him. You're not going to die. And this man waited. I can only imagine every day this man would think, "I wonder if it's going to be today. I wonder if I'm going to see him today. I wonder if today's the day that Almighty God is going to actually let me look upon the Christ." You're going to see him. You know, Job was promised. He's going to see. Job died though. But Job had the promise and the assurance, I'm going to see him. Though I'm going to die. And remember Job, he was so sick and a man emaciated. But he said, though the worms destroy this body, though I'm put in the ground and I go back to dust, and that's all that there is. He said, these eyes right here, not the eyes of another, these eyes, in this flesh, raised from the dead, made new, changed, but this flesh, without sin, I'm going to see God. I'm going to look upon God. I'm going to see him. This man was promised, he said, you're not going to die. Job died. Job said, I know, I'm going to see him though. And Job's going to see him. Job's in the ground right now. That body of Job, I imagine you dig him up, there's nothing there but dust. He just, probably nothing there. He's gone. But Job said, I'm coming out of this ground. And I'm going to see God. You know, that's comfort, isn't it? That's comforting. I know in this body, I know we're going to die. But I'm telling you, for every believer, a believer is assured, I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see him in mercy. I'm going to see him really. And I'm going to see him forever. I'm going to be with him. Because I know this. He prayed in John 17:24, Father, I will that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And I'm telling you, a believer says, you know what, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him again. That man, first of all, he was miraculously taught. You're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And secondly, he was miraculously directed. Look at verse 27. The scripture says, and he came, now look at this, by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit. So many times we're all like this. We always think, well, you know what, today's Sunday. Oh, you know what, today. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go ahead and grab me a bite to eat, get all squared away, get dressed, and we're just going to go to church. The scripture says that the steps of a good man, one not good in himself. I know that. You know that. But the steps of one that believes God. Steps of good man are ordered by the Lord. And this last part, and he delighteth in his way. I don't know if that means that the good man delights in the Lord's way or the Lord delights in his way. But both of them true. I'm so thankful that God would direct our way. We didn't just show up today. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You say, well, I just came to church today. No, you didn't. Almighty God directed this. There was a purpose for this. You're here by divine appointment. This man right here was brought by the Spirit of God into the temple. The Lord leading his people is not coincidental. It's according to his purpose. It's according to his will. Secretly, powerfully, marvelously, he leads according to his purpose. Like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, though, I'm short. He was short of stature. Well, he said, I can't see. So I'm going to just climb up in a sycamore tree. Why? Because the Lord was going to pass by that way, and Almighty God from before the foundation of the world was going to be at that spot, and at that spot, at that moment, the Lord was going to look up, and there was going to be Zacchaeus right there. And he was going to say, Zacchaeus, can you imagine Zacchaeus? He knows my name. He knows my name. He said, I know my sheep. I call them by name. They follow me. Zacchaeus, come down. I got to be at your house today. Eternally. I've got to be at your house today. I'm telling you, for every one of us here, we had to be here. We had to be here. This man was brought miraculously by the Spirit of God. And the Scripture says in verse 27, "And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law." Now I'm going to show you something, a couple of things that are taught here. The Lord, number one, they did come in. Something had happened prior to this, though. I'll show you this. Look in verse 21. 8 days, when 8 days were accomplished. Now, 8 days after the birth of the Lord. 8 days. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's, remember when the angel came and told Mary, he said, "You're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That happened 8 days after he was born. Now, this right here is a little bit later in time. I'll show you why. Because it says in verse 22, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished." Now that was 40 days after he was born. 40 days according to the law after he was born. And they brought him also during that 40 days had been accomplished. Now 8 days after he was born, he had to be circumcised according to the law. Not that he himself had any sin, but he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had to order all the order that was to be accomplished of the law. He had to obey it. So he had to be circumcised. Not that he himself was a sinner like everybody else, but he was made like unto his brother. Now, 40 days later, after, when the days of her purification, 40 days later, 40 days after his birth was taking place. Now she's coming. Now that's where they are. It's been you know, a month plus, 10 days after. Well, being led now by God's Spirit into the temple, having been made to know that he's waiting on the Lord's Christ. The Scripture says now, they brought him in, verse 27, into the temple to do for him. He's going to have to be presented. That was according to Exodus 13:2. It'd be presented, all presented to the Lord, given to the Lord, dedicated to the Lord, according to the law. And here they are. She's coming in now, 40 days after his birth, after the time of her purification and everything. They're going to come present him to the Lord. And they walk in to the temple, and here was this man, Simeon. A just man, devout man. And he walked up, and she came up, Mary and Joseph, with the child Jesus in their arms. And the Scripture says, Simeon in verse 28, "Then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God." He blessed God. The same Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. The same Spirit that led him to the temple. And not only led him to the temple, led him to that spot. How big was the temple? I don't know. All of us has come here today, and I've tried to say hello to as many of you as I could, but there may be a few here that I hadn't spoken to yet. I try to. But I mean that I would be exactly at one spot to say, cross your path at an exact moment. But this man did. They walked in, there he was, and the Scripture says he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. The Spirit of God moved this man, to take him up into his arms, obviously embraced him with affection and respect, and praised the Lord God of heaven, giving him all the glory and honor that this man could for his mercy and goodness to send the Messiah. The Spirit of God told this man, this is him. This is the one. The very one who held Simeon in his own hand of power and protection and providence and salvation. Here's Almighty God who has humbled himself, made flesh, a baby, God Almighty. And Simeon was allowed by God himself to take that child in his arms. And Simeon assured by faith that he was in the very presence of God. And Simeon, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, verse 29, Lord, Lord, as it's recorded in Acts 4:24, Lord, you who are God, which has made heaven and earth, the seas and all that in them is. Lord, and here's his heart rejoicing, knowing that without a doubt, God's word has been fulfilled to me. What this man had waited for, the sight of the Messiah, was accomplished before his eyes. Here was the one who before he had only seen by faith. I know he's coming. God told me he's coming. God told me that I'm not going to die before I see the Lord's Christ. He saw him by faith. And now, with a settled heart and a devout attitude, he requests leave of this life in peace according to God's word. He says, Lord, now. Now lettest thou thy servant, your bond slave. Lord, your willing servant. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Now I know this. We read that, and I did the same thing till I was looking over this. I'm going to tell you something in closing on this first message that was a real blessing to me. That prayer that this man Simeon prayed to the Lord. He took the child Jesus, the scriptures describes him to be, and he just blessed God and he said, Lord, now let us permit, allow thy servant to depart in peace according to your word. What he asked was more than just if I can say it this way, a common departure. Just he wasn't just saying, Lord, let me now leave peacefully. Just quietly, which a believer does. He does. I know that. That word depart, it does mean this. It does mean to loose from, to let go, and to dismiss. That's what it means. It means that. But also, it means more than that. It means to forgive. And let me show you the same word, that word depart. Listen to this. Luke, I'll just read this to you. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. That word forgive and forgiven, right there, is the same word depart. Same word. Depart. It's translated depart here. But it means to dismiss, to take leave of, and to let go. But it also means to forgive. And here's what Simeon prayed. He said, Lord, now, Let me die in peace with you. Forgiven. Let me die forgiven. Let me leave this world resting from the bondage of this life and absolved from the bondage of sin, knowing that I've seen your salvation. This is what was spoken of in Genesis 15:15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. We think about leaving in peace and it's just quiet and serene, and I understand that, but that's not what he asked. He said, I bless God that I can leave this world forgiven. I bless the Lord that I can leave this world and be received into your sight, accepted in the beloved, and my iniquity not be imputed to me. I'm a blessed man because the Lord has not charged me with my guilt. That I'm guilty is without a doubt. I know that. But that he wouldn't charge me with it. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What word is that? I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. I'm telling you that right there, those are words that a believer can truly, truly say, that's the way I want to die. I want to die blessing God and praising God and saying, Lord, let me die forgiven by you. Let me die with my sin put away. Let me die with there being no condemnation to me. Lord, let me die in peace. Peace with you. Peace in my conscience. Knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has put away my guilt. For Christ's sake.